Matthew Tame spoke to the Night King about his intentions with Kevin. Matthew wanted to convince him to let Kevin join forces with him, but the Night King flatly rejected him, telling him that Kevin had far more important matters to deal with. It is often the case that not everyone is in a position to rule over all of their own choices in life. Only those who possessed great strength had the qualifications to preside over every aspect of their own life, let alone the lives of others. Most ordinary people spend their entire lives just trying to earn enough money to buy a new car, buy a new house, and do just enough to give their family the things they need. However, such people might never understand that in the eyes of the great figures who were at the peak of their status, their lives were just a joke. It was not just a saying that there was always someone better than you. As strong as Kevin had become, it was not an exaggeration to say that 90% of the people in the world would never be able to even imagine his power. However, how could he truly take control of his own life? A few years ago, he was chased out of his own family. Little did he know that the path he took was basically all planned out in advance by the Night King. He had never deviated from it at all. Matthew Tames knew this all very well, and that was why he was especially angry. Although he and the Night King were fellow disciples at the same school, their ideologies, personalities, and worldviews were completely different from each other.
"Do you really know what you are doing with Kevin? Does he know?"
Matthew Tames looked at the Night King and couldn't help raising his voice.
"He does not need to know. In my plan, he only needs to follow the steps I have planned out for him. No matter how much trouble he causes, I will cover it up for him," the Night King said. He was still looking out at the horizon. "Your bad temper hasn't changed even after so many years," the Night King added bitterly.
"This isn't a bad temper, but the personality I chose. Do you need a reminder about what happened back then?"
The more Matthew Tames spoke, the more excited he became.
"That's enough. I didn't come to see you tonight just so we could get into a fight. We don't have much to talk about anyway. Different ideologies lead to different understandings of the world. Even if we argue until the end of time, we still won't be able to convince each other. So what's the point?"
the Night King said, his tone suddenly becoming cold. It was as if Matthew's words had stirred his nerves. Even Kevin did not know that the Night King had taken on 3 disciples, including him. The oldest disciple was a rare genius. The Night King was so pleased that he had taught him everything he knew. Unfortunately, as time went on, the Night King began to worry that he had become too immersed in the joy of his own power. Time had proven this point. The Night King's oldest disciple eventually wholeheartedly wanted to help the pinnacle rule over humanity once again. It could be said that this was the darkest period of time in the world of experts. In the end, the Night King had no choice but to personally take action. In order to restore the balance, he personally went to Apex Island to massacre the Pinnacle's experts before he drifted away. It could be said that his oldest disciple was the greatest source of pain in the Night King's life because his beloved protege's path was all carefully planned out by him. However, he had neglected his influence from the very beginning.
"Different ideologies are not a problem. I just really can't bear to see you repeat the same mistake,"
Matthew Tame said earnestly.
"You don't need to worry about that. I will control myself. I will definitely not let the previous incident repeat itself."
The Night King closed his eyes slowly and said in pain,
"I don't deny that Kevin is a good person, but that is also why he needs to plan his own life. The reason why I asked him to help is to help increase his understanding of the world. I want him to have a good heart and take on the safety of the whole world as his personal responsibility in the future. This is the bare minimum qualification for him if he is to someday inherit your position."
Matthew Tames tried his best to persuade him. The Night King did not answer immediately. He was silent for 2 full minutes with his eyes closed as if he was seriously thinking about what Matthew Tames had said. After a long time, the Night King slowly opened his eyes again. He turned around and looked at Matthew Tames deeply.
"I can promise to ask Kevin to help you,
but I will also give up the favor I owe you from back then," the Night King said with a deeper meaning.
Matthew Thames was stunned for a moment, then quickly reacted. He looked like he did not know whether to laugh or cry. He pointed at the Night King with his finger and said,
"You are trying to skirt karma. You did not hesitate to use your own disciple to exchange for it."
"You're the one who said that you want him to make the world his responsibility," the Night King said in a serious manner.
Matthew Thames curled his lips speechlessly when he heard this. Meanwhile, on the island in the center of Swan Lake, Dustin Newman looked around and revealed a proud smile. From the first wave of people who set foot on the island, he had handled them all with ease. This was the third wave of people he had taken care of.
"With so little strength, you still dare to challenge us?"
Dustin Newman said disdainfully. Barry Damon slowly walked out of the forest and tossed the bodies of 5 or 6 unconscious people on the ground in front of him.
"Mr. Williams was right. Tonight was never going to be a peaceful night,"
Barry said with a straight face.
"What are you doing here? Shouldn't you be guarding the north side of the island?"
Dustin asked curiously.
"Amanda is handling the north side. Violet is looking after the east and south by herself. Given the geography of the island, I was afraid something would happen to you, so I came to make sure everything was okay."
Barry Damon walked over to a tree and leaned against it with his arms crossed in front of his chest.
"What are you afraid of? What makes you think that I wouldn't be able to handle such an easy task?"
Dustin said, clearly a little angry.
"If that's not the case, then why did these few people get past you?"
Barry glanced at him and said in a flat tone.
"Fortunately, I rushed over and took care of these guys on my way here. Why don't you just head back to the house and wait for Mr. Williams to punish you?"
Just as the two of them were talking, Kevin appeared with Violet Sweeney and Amanda Perry.
"Mr. Williams!"
The two of them greeted him at the same time. Kevin nodded slightly and looked at the people lying on the ground. He asked, "How is the situation?"
"It's all under control, Mr. Williams. None of them were able to get past us,"
Dustin Newman answered first. Barry Damon glanced at him and did not say anything more.
"It's good that no one got by."
Kevin took a deep breath and said, "You two head back first." The two of them looked at each other in surprise. Then they came to Amanda Perry's side. Kevin stretched out his hands and circulated his spirit energy to draw a dozen complicated and gorgeous patterns in the air. When he finished drawing, the marks slowly disappeared into the air. Dustin and Barry frowned because they could clearly feel that the space around them had changed somehow, but they weren't sure how. They didn't have a deep understanding of spatial zones, so they could only feel that some slight changes had taken place. Soon, they saw a large amount of dense white fog coming out of the forest. In less than a minute, it had completely filled up everywhere they could see across the entire island. Out of curiosity, Dustin Newman focused his spiritual energy on his eyes and looked toward the outside of the dense fog.
"How could this be?" he muttered in surprise.
No matter how hard he focused his own spiritual energy, he couldn't see anything beyond the whiteness. He couldn't even hear anything. "How is it? After that, we'll be living here on this island for a while. This can protect our privacy very well." Kevin smiled proudly. He snapped his fingers and took out 2 red stones from his pocket. "Take this. You can enter and exit the island freely. With these, you won't get lost in the thick fog," he said. Sure enough, the moment the stones were in their hands, the white fog disappeared from Dustin and Barry's sight.
"This is incredible,"
Dustin Newman muttered. "Don't be alarmed. It's just a formation. This formation will also silently absorb all of the surrounding spiritual energy. In the future, everyone's power base will be more relaxed here," Kevin said as he held up his hand to keep Dustin from becoming alarmed. After that, they all went back to the house to get some rest. However, while they were all very happy with these recent developments, others were worried. In a house in Washington, after listening to the reports from his subordinates, Mason Zimmerman's face became dark. With a bang, Mason Zimmerman smashed the coffee table in front of him to pieces.
"A bunch of useless trash. Every last one of them. I didn't even get any information from when I asked them to go and find out. Now they've actually got themselves captured.
Mason Zimmerman roared furiously. The person who came to report on the situation in front of him didn't dare to refute him. He could only lower his head even more.
It will all be okay, he said timidly.
How can you say that it will all be okay? I just wanted to gather some information. If I can't even get a team of people to do such a small thing, how am I ever going to make any real progress?
Mason said in a somewhat flustered and exasperated manner.
This is all my fault. I would be happy to personally go out and gather some intel on Kevin.
The man braced himself and said. Only then did Mason Zimmerman's facial expression become a little better.
Oh, right. That reminds me. I don't just want to monitor Kevin. I want you to also send a few people to keep an eye on Olivia Rafferty.
Mason Zimmerman clenched his fist and ordered.
Yes, sir.
The man braced himself and agreed. He knew very well how difficult and dangerous it was to monitor a level 7 expert. However, he could not refute Mason Zimmerman at this moment, so he could only clench his teeth and prepare to take on the challenge personally. Half the night passed very quickly. Because he had urgent company matters to attend to, Tyler Dawn told Kevin that he would be immediately leaving the house at Swan Lake. Kevin, who had finished up his training, saw that it was almost 9 o'clock. He thought that Lily should be getting up soon, so he took out his phone and hesitated a few times before calling her. After a few rings, the call was answered.
Hello, Kevin?
Lily asked, sounding a little haggard. These past few days had been difficult for her. After being told off by Sandra Wilson the last time, Lily resolutely went to the Williams Company anyway. Almost every night, she was the last to leave the company. She had been doing everything in her power to stabilize the overall situation, along with Emo Squire and the others, to resist Dalton Steele's business conglomerate. In these past few days, Lily had witnessed several assassinations and assassination attempts on powerful people, involving everything from car accidents to trespassing. Fortunately, all of these were only ordinary people. With the bodyguards that had been arranged by Emo Squire, she was safely able to avoid any serious danger, at least so far.
It's me. How have you been, my love?
Kevin bit his lip and asked with some difficulty.
I'm all right. You must have been having a hard time in D.C.
Lily asked with a tired tone. Fortunately, I've made some recent breakthroughs, Kevin answered. As soon as he finished speaking, neither of them took the initiative to say anything else. The atmosphere suddenly became heavy. There was never any doubt in Kevin's mind that he loved Lily more than anything else in the world. After all, everything he was doing in Washington now was for her. In the end, Lily was the first to speak.
You make sure to take care of yourself in Washington. If it is really too dangerous, come back to Chicago. Promise me, okay?
I know the situation in Chicago, Kevin sighed slightly and said. Dalton apparently has some misunderstanding about me. Let him cause trouble in Chicago. I will arrange for someone to bring you to D.C. so we can be together. That way, I'll know that you're safe.
What did you say?
Lily was stunned.
Don't you want me to look after the Williams Company? You built so much here in Chicago. Are you afraid of Dalton?
Listen to me. The situation between Dalton and me is a little complicated. I didn't say that I don't want to continue taking care of things in Chicago. I just want you to let Sandra handle the company for now. I can protect you better if you're here in D.C. with me. Kevin said as he licked his lips, unsure of exactly how to express what he wanted to say. Was he really afraid of Dalton Steele? The answer was, of course, no.
No, I can't leave. Could it be that in your heart I am inferior to Sandra? I am confident that I can handle things at the Williams Company better than anyone else, Lily said.
Tears were already welling up in her eyes and she could feel that she was about to start crying at any moment. She never thought that Kevin would think that she was not up to the job of overseeing Williams Media.